Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to tell you that you can radically and permanently change your relationship to food all without ever going on another diet. That's because it is not what you're eating that is the real problem, it's what's eating at you. And I'm here to help you figure that out. If you'd like to join me today, the number here in the studio is 818-402-4929. That's 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what's on your mind. So here's a question from a listener to the show. And this person says, I know I have to exercise, but I just can't get to the gym on a consistent basis. I tell myself to go, but then something always comes up and I never end up going. You've said that scolding yourself isn't motivational. No, it is not. You've said that scolding yourself isn't motivational, but how else can I motivate myself? Well, I bet a lot of you guys can relate to that. And if you've listened to the show for a while, you may remember one of my callers, Nick. He hasn't called in a while, but for a while there, he was calling very consistently. And one day he basically had the same question. He said that he knew that he had to walk, but he couldn't make himself walk. Every day he started with the motivation of, I'm going to walk a mile or 2 miles or 5 miles or whatever it was. And of course, he just never could let himself do it. And he felt really bad and he beat himself up. And of course, when he beat himself up, what did he do? Went to ice cream. So you can see the relationship between beating yourself up and turning to food. So basically, he wanted to know what was wrong with him because he couldn't motivate himself to do something he knew was good for him. And so I asked him, I said, hey, Nick, do you like walking? And he said, no, I hate walking. It's so boring. He hated walking. So, of course, he wasn't going to do something that he hated. So one way to get yourself to do what you want is to pick something you want to do in the first place, something you actually like doing. As I recall, I think Nick said he liked playing tennis. And so he sounded a lot more cheerful about that. And probably it was a lot easier to get himself to the tennis court than it was to get out and walk, which is something that he couldn't stand. Don't force yourself to do something you hate just because you think it's good for you. Find something else that's good for you that you actually like doing. For example, the thought of soul cycling fills me with such absolute horror, I can't even tell you. The idea of being in a room full of a bunch of people on stationary bikes with some instructor like screaming at you to go faster and motivating you. That just sounds horrible, horrible. I don't want to do that, but for other people, they love it. I'm going to interrupt myself with a caller. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi, Dr. Nina. It's Nicole. How are you?
Hi, Nicole. How are you doing?
Hi.
Are you calling to update on your progress?
Yeah. The peanut butter thing. Remember how you told me to eat peanut butter every day?
Yes, I told you. I'm going to repeat what you're saying because on Instagram people can't hear you. But Nicole said, "How do I stop making myself eat peanut butter? How do I stop eating peanut butter?" You know, and I said, "You need to tell yourself to eat peanut butter. Have peanut butter every day." And
okay, so this is the update. So I went on a meditation retreat, and they had a lot of peanut butter there. And so I was eating peanut butter every day there, but I guess I wasn't really following your instructions because I, like, saw it there, and I'm like, oh, my God, I don't have it at home, so I should, like, eat as much of it now because when I go home, I didn't follow your instructions properly.
That's the anticipation of deprivation.
Yeah, so I was like, let me eat a lot of peanut butter right now.
Okay, so just updating people on Instagram live, she basically went on, she went somewhere and there was peanut butter, and her thought was, oh, I don't have it at home, so I better have a lot of it now, which is a perfect example of how the anticipation of deprivation makes you want to have something more. But when you can have it, if you can have loads of peanut butter, then you can decide, A, if you want it, and B, how much. So it sounds like you're kind of understanding the principle a little bit more, even if maybe you haven't been able to put it into practice.
Yeah, exactly. But then someone told me about PB2. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's like this powder and it's like fake peanut butter kind of, and I'm not really into fake things, but I got it from Whole Foods and I tried it and it's like not a bad alternative. But I don't know if that really fixes my problem either.
No, I think you should just allow yourself to have peanut butter, and you might have a little bit too much at first, but when you really, really trust that it's not a bad forbidden food and it's just a choice that you can have, whether it's peanut butter, milkshakes, whatever. Other people have said milkshakes, not you. But then you can say, okay, I can have it. So then you don't want what you can't. You're not in that place of wanting something because it's forbidden.
Right. No, that makes sense. Okay, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to continue to work on that and, like, actually try to implement it, and then I'll call back with an update. But I have some other questions. Can I ask?
Of course, yes.
Okay, cool. So I have two questions. I'll ask one first. So I find that when I cave in and I like have one indulgence, maybe it's not good to think of it as an indulgence, but let's just say I have something I'm not supposed to have, it like leads me to like wanting more indulgences. Like I feel so guilty about that one thing I ate that wasn't even that bad, and then I feel so guilty and to like punish myself, or I don't even know what I'm doing. It like ruins the day for me, or sometimes the week, because I just like continue having indulgences because I feel so guilty about that one I had. And I'm just like sick of this cycle and I want to know what to do.
Well, I think it's the question for you guys on Instagram is, she's saying that when she has one indulgence, as she puts it, Nicole calls it an indulgence, that it basically can ruin the day and sometimes the week, and she feels so guilty. And then it's like, sounds like you're like, well, the day is ruined, so I might as well have other stuff, that kind of a thing. So I think you actually caught yourself, because you said maybe you shouldn't call it an indulgence, and that is absolutely right. Changing your language is essential, because the meaning of that is what's making you feel so bad. Because eating a pastry is, for example, is not an indulgence. or you know, what was the last indulgence? But peanut butter. Let's say peanut butter. Eating peanut butter is not an indulgence. An indulgence means you're doing something you shouldn't do. Right? You're letting yourself have something you think you shouldn't have. And that's where the guilt comes in. And guilt is, ooh, I did something wrong. You know, I should be eating, I don't know, air. And I ate peanut butter. But, you know, eating something it's neither good nor bad. I hear people all the time say, oh my God, I was so bad. I ate pizza. I was so bad. No, you're not bad. You just ate a certain kind of food. So the problem with this thinking is it personalizes it, and it makes you start thinking of yourself as good or bad, right? Mm. It makes you
feel. But I guess I'm like that too, because I'm like, pizza is bad. Like, that's how myself from eating pizza.
No, it's not.
Pizza's bad.
No, it's not.
It's not. Okay.
Nothing is bad. It's just healthy. Or okay. So she's saying pizza is bad. That's how she stops herself from eating it. And then what happens is you go to a Greek restaurant that's super yummy, and you can't stop yourself because you're eating things that are not good, as in tasty, right? So pizza is not bad. Peanut butter is not bad. Candy is not bad. It's eating too much of it that's bad, and it's just maybe healthier or unhealthy. And when you take the good food, bad food, kind of differentiation out of your mind, then you can just make a choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can. I'm going to try to implement that as well. I think it's going to be hard to reverse because I think for a long time I've been telling myself that certain foods are bad. So,
right, and then you feel bad about yourself. Yeah. And then if you have one bad thing, if you have one piece of pizza, you might as well have like the whole pizza. You know, that kind of mentality.
Yeah. So I should just let myself, like, if I'm craving something, just have a little bit of it, and then like. But then I'm worried, but then I feel, so it's the guilt. So don't feel guilty because it's not bad, and then it won't spiral.
Yeah, you know, when you see kit, like you, if you, I don't know how many kids you've been around, but maybe you can remember back. Kids, like little kids, if they get, say they get birthday cake at a party and they're, you know, three. A lot of times they'll just be like, no, I don't want cake. Or I had a bite, I don't want the rest of it. Or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Because they're not attached to, oh my God, I shouldn't have this, so I'm going to have it because I must never have it. And I started having it and it doesn't taste very good, but I've already had a bite, so I might as well have more. That whole thinking about it that leads to eating more.
Yeah, that totally resonates with me. And then, like, you know, next time there's cake, you can choose whether or not you actually want it. And it's not like I can't have it, so I want it because I don't know when's the next time I'm going to get my hands on this.
Exactly right.
Okay.
And that's exactly what I mean by deprivation leads to binging or overeating at the least.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, awesome. Thank you. And do we have time for one more question?
Sure. Why not? Ask me another question.
Okay, so I'm like, so yeah, I tell myself all these foods are bad, and you know, I've been able to maintain my weight, and like, I think that, you know, I look okay. I'm not like overweight or anything, but like, I really, you know, restrict myself. But I just like, I feel like I have these last 5 pounds that I really want to lose, and I just don't know how to go about it because I feel like at this point the only way to really lose weight is to like not eat, like literally eat very little and really restrict my calories. Oh, so I'm just like,
okay, yeah. So Instagram folks, what she's saying is she wants to lose the last 5 pounds and she just can't figure out how to do it. And right now she thinks the only way to lose those last 5 pounds is to eat very few calories, which, by the way, is the worst thing that you can do, Nicole, because when you eat fewer calories, your body says, ooh, fewer calories are coming in, must become more efficient. So your metabolism slows down, becomes more efficient, and then when you eat more normally, it is a lot easier. Now it's got a lower set point, right? It's much more efficient, you need fewer calories, so then it is easier to gain weight when you start eating more normally. So that's why when you restrict calories like that, it's very antithetical to the outcome you want.
I've heard you talk about this before on the radio show, actually. Okay. So what do I do? How do I lose the last 5 pounds if it's not restricting calories?
Well, let me ask you this. Obviously, you say you've lost weight and you've gotten to a point where you feel good. You just want to lose another 5 pounds. Do I understand you correctly? All right. So then what is it that you're doing differently that you were doing to lose weight before? Or were you just restricting?
I think just restricting indulgences, as I call them, or just restricting, you know, like pizza, pasta, candy, you know, like all the carby, high sugar foods that aren't like nutritious and healthy in my book, and exercising and being active. But I feel like even by doing those things now, I'm kind of just maintaining and kind of have just like plateaued, and I just feel like there's 5 more pounds I really want to just like lose to get to my ideal, but I just can't do it. I don't know.
What? So Well, first of all, I just want to say something about, you know, you mentioned foods with empty calories and pasta and pizza, which, by the way, is not unhealthy. You know, I mean, it depends on what you put on it. But when you are eating more intuitively and you're in tune with what your body really wants and needs, you won't even want those things as much. You won't even want it because you just want to give your body good, healthy foods. You won't be eating maybe out of deprivation or something psychological. So, I just got a message from my engineer saying there's going to be a fire alarm test. We may get interrupted.
Is that it?
That may be it. I hope we don't have to leave. If we do, this will be an interesting show. So here's my question. What do you imagine is going to be different when you lose those 5 pounds? Why is that your ideal weight?
Why is it my ideal weight? I just feel like I have just like a little bit extra, like just a little bit. I don't think I'm fat. I don't think I'm obese. I just feel like in order to like feel super confident and happy, I just feel like there's still a little bit room for improvement. I just feel like there's like a little bit of fat on my thighs and like a little bit on my stomach.
Okay,
and like,
well, that's because you
wanted like be a little thinner.
All right, she's saying the 5 pounds. She's got a little bit of fat on her stomach and thighs. Like, don't we all? That makes us human. 5 pounds is not that much. But what you said, what I caught you say, is that you feel like you're going to be more confident, right? So if 5 more pounds will make you feel more confident. And when losing weight is attached to those kinds of expectations, it shows us that there might be something psychological at work. Like you might think you're going to be different when you're 5 pounds thinner, right? Like you said, more confident. And then a part of you may know that you will not be more confident when you lose 5 pounds. You will just be you. Maybe you'll feel good about it for like a second, and then you'll just feel like you always do. So as long as those 5 pounds are like a carrot on a stick going, oh, if I could just get there, then I'm going to be confident, it might be hard to lose those 5 pounds, right? Because what happens if you lose 5 pounds and you're not confident? That sucks.
Yeah.
Then how are you going to feel more confident? So don't tie your confidence and your sense of self to 5 pounds or any weight, right? So I would look at that. I would look like, why do you think you need to be, different? It's like people who say, oh, I remember this woman, her grandmother was always telling her, oh, you know, when you lose weight, the guys are going to be, you know, circling the block, you're going to be so gorgeous when you lose weight. And she lost weight. She lost like 100 pounds, more than 100 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, so where are the guys? where are those guys that are supposed to be circling the block? You know, think about like what personality characteristics you think you're going to gain if you lose 5 pounds. And maybe that will... maybe that will be helpful. And Nicole, thank you so much. I'm just going to jump on another call. So thanks so much for calling in and asking such good questions, and keep us posted. All right. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina.
Hey, Dr. Nina. It's Brian from Chicago. How are you?
Hi, Brian from Chicago. Nice to hear from you.
Hope you're having a good morning so far. It's been a really good show.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. It's a beautiful day in LA. It's a good morning. I'm talking to nice people. All is well.
Good. Well, here's my question for you. I've noticed listening to your show now for, you know, these many months that you obviously get a lot of callers, but a lot of them are guys. So I'm just wondering, like, is that unusual for the areas that you deal with, or is it pretty common that guys, you know, have issues that they struggle with, you know, and it's just that most people just don't think of it that way?
So for you guys on you guys on Instagram, Brian is saying that he's noticed that a lot of times I have callers who are men, who are guys, and he's wondering, is that unusual? And do men struggle with these same kinds of issues? It seems to be equal to, you're not saying this, but it's equal or more, like men are equally represented, if not more so, on my show, you being one of the callers. So is that reflective of the general population where guys really struggle with food and weight and eating disorders and that kind of thing? Am I understanding the question right?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, Brian, yes. Yes, the stereotype of people who struggle with food or eating issues is that it's young white women. And that is so not true. Anybody can have issues with food because we're all human, and food is psychological as well as something that we need to, continue our existence. And people have emotions, not just women. People deal with and struggle with things, not just women. So I have a lot of men in my practice. I have a lot of men in my online programs. A lot of men in my group. Absolutely, you are not alone, and it's a human issue, not a female issue.
Okay.
And I should a lot of guys have shame about it. I've had guys say to me, I shouldn't be feeling this way. Like, I'm a dude. Shouldn't be having these feelings. I don't know. Have you had any of those types of thoughts? Like, am I alone in worrying about my body image? And you haven't talked about weight. You've talked about, like, overtraining at the gym and stuff like that. Do you ever think, am I the only guy who's having these thoughts?
Sometimes, only because it's not necessarily something that I freely talk about with people. So I think just like anything, if you kind of try to make your way through an issue more by thinking your way through it than by discussing it with other people, you never really get a very good sense of how many people also might feel the same way. So that can kind of make you feel like, I'm having these thoughts, and it doesn't, you sort of try to imagine if anybody else is thinking that way, and since you generally can't, you kind of just conclude, well, it must just be me.
Yeah. Well, it's not just you, Brian. There are so many guys, and of all ages. Several months ago, I had a group of guys here, actually, and they're from 20s to 70, and they were all talking about this. Yeah, they were talking about how it was to be in our culture and the pressures on men to look a certain way, even, to have that six pack or eight pack or whatever pack it is up to now, and to not have that dad bod, and that there was a certain way you're supposed to look masculine. And
I don't know if there's pressure anymore to have the six packs, because I think that's just hard to do unless you're training for competition. But there's definitely pressure to not have a dad bod. No offense to anybody who's listening who has a dad bod, because your body is your body and you should just be proud of it. But if you're talking about sort of popular culture and the perception of guys, I think guys, they may not talk about it, but they definitely feel pressure to not look a certain way.
And to pretend that they don't care. So Brian is saying that guys feel a pressure to look a certain way, or to not look a certain way, or to be fit. I guess what you're saying is there's a lot of pressure to be really fit, maybe not super, muscled out like an underwear model, but just to be in shape and fit and look a certain way. But they don't talk. But it's not something that you talk about. Like, women talk about that stuff with their girlfriends all the time. Oh my God, I gained this weight, and I feel so bad about myself. And then the girlfriends are all like, "Oh, it's okay. You look great." Guys do not say that I'm aware of.
Right, that's very true. That's totally true. We don't. I have never been out with friends or heard other guys in groups ever even once in my lifetime say, oh my God, I've gained so much. I just, no, never.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm glad that you're asking the question for all those guys out there who similarly kind of may have these thoughts and may not know that other people, other guys also struggle with this and also struggle with body image. And even if they don't struggle with food issues, they may struggle with body image. And it's something that a lot of people can relate to. And I guess having a conversation about it is a step to change and acceptance.
Well, and you're doing so much to help us all with that, so we thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Brian. And thanks for calling in and asking a question that I think a lot of people can relate to.
Well, happy to, and I know we'll be speaking again soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. I think I've talked about this before. I was on a podcast as a guest a long time ago, and the host was saying, "Well, wait a minute. Let me get this straight." This is a show called Let's Reverse Obesity, and his name is John Buchanan, and he said, "Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You're saying that I'm eating because of something emotional, something going on inside me?" I said, "Yes. It's not only emotional. It's conflict. It's all kinds of things. It's symbolic. It's whatever." And he said, "Well, I don't have feelings. I'm a dude." So I'm like, well, dude, you do have feelings because you're a human dude. So there you have it. Okay, so back to the question from the listener who was wanting to know about how could he motivate himself? It was a guy, ironically. How could he motivate himself? So I was saying that you got to do something you love. And I was also saying that, like, for example, the idea of soul cycling, I know it's really popular, everyone loves it. Or, oh, here's another one, hot yoga. The idea of hot yoga fills me with horror, pure horror, purely horror. I can't imagine anything worse than being in a hot room holding poses. I'm sure it's very healthy and good for you. And if you love hot yoga, good for you. Not so much. I go the other direction. I love figure skating. Get me into a very cold, big room with ice, and I am very happy. Because it doesn't feel like exercise. It just feels like I'm having fun, and, you know, it's great. So you got to do something that you love, and that is going to be very motivating. Okay, so when you do something you love, you'll be happy about it, and you won't have to force yourself to do it. You'll be like, yes, I cannot wait to go. All right, so I have a few other ways, suggestions of how you can make yourself do what you don't want to do. First of all, think about why you want to do this, why you need to do this. So, yeah, sit there a minute, think about this. Why do you need to do this thing that you don't want to do? And this could be about exercise. It could be about anything. Anything that you know you need to do, but you cannot motivate yourself to do it. And being mean to yourself really is not the answer. Because, again, why do I say food or eating is the solution to the problem? The problem is something that you're thinking, you're feeling, something internal that food makes you escape. So sit and think about why you want to do this thing you don't want to do. Maybe it's on your to-do list. Maybe you know it's healthy for you. Maybe someone else wants you to do it. Maybe you just think you should do it. Oop. Hold on. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Nina.
Nick, I was talking about you earlier in the show.
I heard. I heard. It was great. But it really was a great experience. The what you're talking about, and the caller before me, I have the same issues as women. But maybe we don't talk about it as much.
Yes, Let me just repeat what you're saying so that the people who are on Instagram, which right now they can't hear my callers, Nick, who I was talking about earlier in the show, he called and he's saying that men do struggle with like food weight, body image issues. They just don't talk about them. So go on, Nick. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, and then it'll be... leads into what you were saying about exercising. I mean, you tell me, I know you love ice skating, but I know I need to do some kind of exercise, but I just can't do it.
Okay.
It's driving me crazy. And I know when I mention this to a doctor, to you, to anyone, that it's all in my mind. It's a block. Because I can start off walking a mile. It won't cause a problem for me.
But let's get a little more into it. Because the last time you called, you said you needed to walk, and then we discovered you actually hate walking. And was I right that you like tennis? Of course, tennis, you need to play with somebody else. So that might not
be the... Yeah, tennis is not an issue.
Yeah. So when you say you need to exercise, what is it that you are trying to make yourself do?
I'm trying to make myself just easily start up a walk a mile.
But you hate walking.
And do it.
But you hate walking.
Yeah, but
what do you like doing?
I mean, I hate hate all exercising. Walking is the easiest one of all.
Okay, so
that I could do.
So, all right, so you've determined that walking is the easiest exercise, even though you hate it and all other exercise besides tennis, which involves other people. All right,
yeah.
So let me ask you this. I think when you're just walking, it can be kind of boring, maybe, or you're just alone with your thoughts. What about listening to music or a podcast or... you know, or a book on Audible? Like maybe you can make the experience a little bit more entertaining for yourself, and that way you're listening to a book or you're listening to podcasts while you're walking rather than you're walking.
That's a I'm just thinking that. Isn't it great if I found a book on tape and I used it and I walked only a mile, that I can't wait tomorrow. It was such a good book.
There you go.
Find out what happens.
Go on Audible. Go on Audible. Do you belong to Amazon? Do you have an account on Amazon?
Yeah.
Then you can have an account on Audible, and you could just download books and listen and walk, and I think it'll be a whole different experience for you. You're saying you're
absolutely
bored. You're bored. I think you can't walk because you're bored. Or maybe you start having thoughts you don't want to have. So if you take that part away from yourself and you just go and you're listening to a great book, that mile's going to go really fast.
Oh, that sounds great. When do I start?
Okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to hang up and you're going to get on your phone and you're going to download the Audible app and you're going to go online and you're going to get some books and you're going to download them.
Oh, good idea.
And you're going to put your earbuds in and you're going to put your running shoes on and just go for just go. But here's the thing. Just go for 10 minutes. Just go for 10 minutes. And if you want to keep going, go. So one of the ways you can make yourself just start is if you think, I've got to walk a mile, and that mile might as well be 100 miles. But if you say, okay, I'm just going to go for 10 minutes, that's kind of doable, right? And then once you get out there, you might find, oh, okay, I'm going to keep going. Or not. All you have to do is 10 minutes, and that's success.
That's a great idea. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, when you break down something that you've got to do into kind of more manageable parts, it it's easier. Like, anyone who wants to run a marathon doesn't just wake up one day and run 26 miles. No, you run like a mile and then eventually two and then three and then five. And, you know, you build your way up. So do the same thing.
Yeah. And then I change my thoughts more towards book or music than being torture that I can't do.
Torture, right. So now walking is not torture. Walking is, right. Oh, I'm going to listen to this really good book.
Yeah. I can't put it down.
I can't stop walking. I got to get to the next chapter.
That's great. That's really a great one. Thanks again a million times.
Well,
you're always so good.
Thank you. Well,
you always know what to say, and I really appreciate it.
Well, Nick, it's very good to hear from you, and again, a great question, and please keep me posted. Let us know. I can always
absolutely
have a good book recommendation, too, so
yeah,
let me know what you find.
I thought the same thing. We can talk about a book.
Sounds good.
That's
Nick.
Great.
Well, keep me posted.
Yes, have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, when you can't do something, it's for a reason. If you're not letting yourself do something you want to do, some part of you wants to do it, and some part of you doesn't want to do it. And the part of you that wants to do it is not going to be more powerful, sorry, than the part that doesn't want to do it. So rather than just be at war with yourself and make yourself do something or just feel bad because you can't make yourself do something, you got to figure out why you don't want to do it. Why? And that goes to my point that I was just making when Nick called, which was, think about why you want to do it. What is the outcome that you're wanting? You know, consider the outcome that you're looking for rather than the drudgery of doing it. So also think about your fear and your hope. Usually what's stopping you from doing something is some kind of fear. Maybe you're afraid you're going to look stupid and people will judge you. Maybe you're afraid to be, maybe Nick was, bored, alone with your thoughts, unable to feel good with yourself. And that's just unbearable. Maybe you're afraid you're going to fail. So if fear is holding you back, remember that fear is about the future. Fear is what if, all what ifs. Anytime you're like, oh, what if this happens, or what if that happens, or what if I fail, or what if they don't like me, or what if they think that I'm too fat, or what if they reject me? All of those kinds of thoughts are fear. Fear about what if is fear about the future. What is the antidote to what if. What is reality. It's what you know to be true. What is. So if it's, I can't go to the gym because, you know, what if people are going to look at me and think that I don't belong there? What is you're not a mind reader. You do not know what goes on in the minds of others. What is the gym is good for you. That probably the reality is that most people are more absorbed with their own lives and they're looking in the mirror at themselves, not at you. And what is that, you know, going to the gym is good for you, and that what other people think of you must not have so much power over you. So when you get into a situation of being afraid that something is going to happen, think about, well, what is the reality? And the reality can kind of soothe you, because often when we think, oh, what if this and what if that and what if, well, then you have real time present anxiety about a future that may or may not exist. you know, someone was saying to me the other day, well, what if, you know, what if I go to law school, but what if I can't get a job after I'm a lawyer? Like, what if I can't get a job? And then I've gone to law school and I have all this student debt and it's horrible. And what am I going to do? So, you know, this person was freaking themselves out over something that might happen, feeling real present day anxiety about something that is in the future and very unlikely to happen. There aren't like a ton of unemployed lawyers out there. So when you think, well, wait a minute, and here's where it ties into food, because if you're feeling anxiety about the future, you're feeling that anxiety in the present. And when you're feeling that anxiety, and you can't calm yourself down because you're freaking yourself out, and you can't simultaneously freak yourself out and go, what if, and calm yourself down, it's okay. Can't that those things cannot happen at once. So if you're freaking yourself out with what if, you're going to turn to food or ice cream or cookies or pastry or pasta or something to distract you and to calm your anxiety. That's why it's so important to stay with the, you know, the what is. And this is kind of similar, but focus on your intention, not the result. You remember, why are you doing this? And if it's to make your life better, if it's to make someone else's life better, that's a great intention, and that's something to keep in mind. So stay with your current motivation instead of worrying about the future outcome. That's important. I'm going to say that again. Stay with the present motivation instead of worrying about the future outcome. Also, this is sort of, it's basic, but it needs to be said. Look, the difficult thing is that accomplishing anything means hard work, and hard work is hard. So, you know, doing something hard sucks. It is, let me tell you, I go ice skating at 7 in the morning on Saturdays, and it is not, I don't jump out of bed with joy like, ooh, it's 5:30 in the morning on a Saturday, I just cannot wait to get to that ice rink. No, I'm like, why? It's dark. I'm exhausted. Like, why am I doing this? What, do I really want to go ice skating? Yes, I do. So I'm going to make myself do it because I know how good I'm going to feel. I don't say to myself, you're going to that rink, you lazy, you know, skater. I say, okay, I don't want to go, but I know how good I'm going to feel when I go. So I allow myself to not want to go. I remind myself it's hard. Yes, it's hard work to get there. And then it makes it easier. So know that, yes, hard work is, it's hard to do things that are difficult. It's hard to do things that are difficult. And it's important because, you know, if it wasn't painful, we wouldn't appreciate when things go well, right? We need the valleys to appreciate the mountains. So just know that when it's hard, it's part of the process. Acknowledge it. Yes, this is hard. Yes, this sucks. I don't like it. And then also allow yourself to, you know, do what you need to do because you're thinking about, you know, how good you're going to feel afterwards and what your motivation is. Also, and this is sort of what I was saying to Nick, give yourself guidelines. First of all, don't multitask. Don't do 85 things at once. Do one thing. Like, don't try to work while watching TV, while reading a magazine, don't do 10 things at once. You will never get them done. Do one thing. One thing at a time. And this is also, do 10 minutes of something at a time. Don't think I've got to write a whole paper. I've got to write a whole book. I'm writing another book right now, and I don't say, oh, I've got to write this whole book. I say, oh, I've got to write like the introduction to that chapter. And if you just think, oh, I've just got to write a little bit about this subject. I think of it as if I'm writing a ton of blog articles, and then somehow they all end up being a book, because it's not so daunting to write a blog article, right? okay, you know, I mean, it's not easy, but it's not like, oh, I've got to sit down and write a book. But if you write a little bit at a time, consistently, voila, you have a book. So break it down into manageable parts, like I told Nick. Don't think about walking a mile. Think about walking for 10 minutes. Break it down so that you can do what feels comfortable to you, and then you can build on that. And remember that by figuring out what is keeping you stuck, by facing your fears and challenging them, you will grow. You will evolve. You will learn about yourself. And that is always a good thing. But you can only learn about yourself if you are, if you're curious, not critical. My favorite expression, be curious, not critical. Because if you're critical of yourself and you're like, why can't you go to the gym? Why can't you do this? Why did you have pizza? Why, or even if you talk to yourself in first person, what, I can't have that. Why did I have that? I wrecked the whole day, right? Then you just feel bad. Then you make yourself feel bad. And then the only thing that's going to make you feel good is to escape your mean voice, usually by eating. So if you don't talk to yourself in that way, you're not going to get to that point where you need to escape your own mean voice. Okay, switching gears a little bit. Let me see how... Okay, don't have much time, but I'm going to get to a question from Julie in Northbrook, Illinois. She says, I've tried everything, and I still can't lose weight. I'm not eating emotionally anymore. Thank you for your help. But the scale refuses to budge. Help! Just help! 3 exclamation marks. Okay, so Julie, that is great. I am so glad that you are not eating emotionally. You're not eating for psychological reasons. If that is the case, then it is time to look at the physiological reasons and that are causing you to not lose weight. And by the way, I'm assuming that Julie is making healthy food choices. Or basically healthy food choices. So one of the major physiological, biological reasons that especially women have when it comes to the scale won't budge is hormonal imbalances, which can really resist weight loss. So if you're eating healthy and you're exercising, but you're not losing weight, those weight loss issues may be caused by some kind of hormonal imbalance, could be a thyroid imbalance. That makes it easy to gain weight and hard to lose weight. And by the way, one cause of thyroid imbalance or low thyroid activity is dieting itself. Dieting messes with your metabolism and does not help in the long run, and it makes things worse. Could be an adrenal imbalance, especially if you've had a lot of stress, which triggers more cortisol production. I won't get into the medical stuff. Could have other kinds of hormone imbalances. So, you know, Julie mentioned she was eating healthy but not losing weight. One of the symptoms of an imbalance. So here are some other thyroid symptoms. Weight gain, loss of energy, hair and skin issues. Your hair gets really dry, maybe falls out. Intolerance to cold and depression. So if you have this cluster of symptoms, like if you have all of those symptoms or most of those symptoms, I really suggest you go to the doctor. Maybe even an endocrinologist to really get to the bottom of it. You know, maybe it is something in your body and not in your mind. And also, just one thing, if you have a thyroid imbalance, you are going to be really tired. Really, really tired, like lethargic and fatigued. People have told me they wake up and they're, you know, they've slept all night and they just still feel exhausted, and it's just horrible. So when you feel that way, you can also be more likely to choose to eat something sugary to kind of give you that quick energy, and that just makes it all the more difficult to lose weight. So are we doing on time? Oh, I'm basically out of time. So hopefully what I've talked about today has been helpful to you. If you have any questions for me, feel free to email me. You can message me through Facebook or Twitter. And if you have any questions, reach out and I will answer them on the air or privately. So thank you so much for joining me here today on the Dr. Nina Show. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. If you'd like more food for thought, check out my website, Dr. Nina Inc., and follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Dr. Nina Inc. I have lots of free giveaways on my site. Check it out. I think you'll like it, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.